Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Welcome back, everyone. International break over. It's another Roma Press Podcast. We hope you are doing very well. Of course, before we get into everything, a thank you to our two newest patrons over at Patreon, Francesco Guarino, and I'm going to try and draw this out so I can find the name, Andy, before I make people think that I am ill-prepared, and Enrico Donji. So thank you both for your support, and of course to all of our wonderful patrons who make this possible, patreon.com/RomaPress, and at @RomaPress on YouTube. Pause it right now. Do us a huge, huge, huge favor. Subscribe, please. And I'm supposed to also say turn on the little bell notification thing, even though it doesn't work 90% of the time. It would be helpful. Thank you for your support. It has been overwhelming. We are coming on to doing the video version of this podcast for 1 year. And as much as I appreciate the support, Andy, the thing I still am miffed over was when 1 year ago we went live and people still had no idea what you and I looked like, which still, the only conclusion I draw is that of all of the appearances I was doing, you were doing, we have to be among the worst self-promoters.
Well, ever. You certainly. I think you've been just showing up on like Italian radio shows of the north, obscure transmissions in Bolzano and Udine.
I
don't think your fame. I don't think your fame extended beyond the confines of.
Radio Vicenza. I know it has a wide footprint, and a lot of people in Vicenza are following AS Roma up there in the great white north of the, basically the Swiss Alps, so to speak. Well, I don't know how you are going to react, because as we record this right now, all right, it is Thursday, all right, 12th of September in the afternoon, and Nikola Zalewski, a transfer story of a player of this level of consequence, should not induce this level of frustration. Nonetheless, here we are. He was close, and then they changed their minds. He was close. It seems like the thing, if you ask to his agent, he has already accepted the proposal, which is fine. But the problem has been between the clubs, which if you ask Roma, they don't want to sell him. Okay. If you ask his agent.
Sure. Sure.
Right. If you ask to his agent, he keeps saying, Ask it to the clubs what the situation is. Ask it to the clubs. Okay, well, I ask
Monchi.
The clubs.
Ask Monchi.
Yeah, ask Monchi. Well, listen, I don't like something like this going beyond today, Thursday. This is a guy that has come off the bench in the first three games.
Oh, no, he started the first game in Cagliari.
He has been among, correct. He has been among the first off of the bench in the two matches in which he did not start. So I do not know what Roma is sort of playing at from the sense of, because we had some of our patrons saying in the group chat, well, maybe they were trying to show off Zalewski prior to the window and boost his value. Let me just tell you, that is not a thing. Nobody does that. It is true to some degree where you will see this happen during the World Cup, for instance. I always think of 2010, Spain, Germany, when you had Ozil. Kadira. Okay, you have some guys, maybe they grab some headlines or something. But Andy, no rational club, if they want to sell a player, or if they are eager to move a player, I can assure you, nobody sends the guy out there as to make it seem as if you are putting wanting to show everybody the Lamborghini that you do have, or at least convince people it's a Lamborghini.
No, this is more the case. This is more the case of a sputtering Toyota. This is
yes.
It's a struggling Fiat 500 going uphill, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Nobody does that. Okay. And I can assure you, if clubs ever did begin to do that, Nikola Zalewski would not be the one who magically increases his value tenfold because he played three matches that Roma did not get a single victory in. So let's just dispel that right now. If you talk to Galatasaray, they are saying Roma, they're asking prices too much. I would probably lean towards that being the actual case, although there have been reports today that Roma were offered 10 million euro for Zalewski, and they rejected that, and they were wanting a figure much higher than that. I don't know a rational person that would think he is worth much more than that, right?
I think if the only thing that would perhaps put Roma off is the formulation of that offer. If it's 10 million with add-ons that are difficult to, you know, to come up with, then sure, I think the club would like a fixed fee in 10 million, but we're never going to get more than that. PSV came up with 9 million in the summer. Okay, so now Roma have basically no leverage. The player is less than a year away from the expiry of his contract. The only option that Roma have right now in order to avoid losing him for free is to renew his contract, knowing full well that right now this is a player who is anywhere but at the center of the project. Like, you know, I don't care how many kind words Daniele De Rossi has to spare for him. You're not going to sell me on the idea that Zalewski is a player whom the club consider vital to the project. It's not going to happen. It was pretty clear that Zalewski, along with Bove, were the players to be moved because they did not fit what the team wanted to achieve in the next year or two. So Bove was moved on the last day of the transfer window. Him too. He also changed his mind a number of times. Nottingham Forest were there. He opted to stay in Italy. With Zalewski, I can see what happens. I mean, I can see that, you know, less than a year away and Galatasaray are the ones who move in on you. And you're like, yeah, but why do I have to pick this one option if I have... I mean, the guy rejected PSV, who play in the Champions League, okay? So why would he ever go and embrace Galatasaray as his only option at the moment, you know, with just... He might as well run out of his contract up until the end of the year and then leave with better options out there. But I think I never understood really Roma's stance on the matter. It was pretty unclear to me. I'm of the belief that if they were able to sell Zalewski for 10 million, had they been able to do that, it would have been an incredible transfer window for Roma, because I still think this is a player who has zero to give to this club right now. I don't care how many incredible performances he gives with the Poland shirt on. As things stand right now, this is a player who has zero to give to this club.
Yeah, and the awkward part of this too is it's almost like the unspoken thing when you have De Rossi having to go out there, when you have Zalewski. I don't know how you approach the guy either, because obviously he played a big part in these opening rounds. I don't know how you can go out there and kind of sell it with this sort of facade of, oh, we've always wanted him, when they have been trying, as you said, to sell him for four months. And the part that has confused me, I think he has a bit of a misunderstanding, in my opinion, as to what his level is and as to who would actually be interested in him. His agent, they think that, you know, Premier League could be a possibility if you talk to them.
How? Why? Why would you ever reject PSV then? Why? If you want to aim for Premier League, you still go to PSV, embrace Champions League football, put yourself on display in the Dutch League. Someone will pick you up. You are 22 years old. I mean, Premier League clubs pick players in the Dutch League all the time, especially young ones. So hello, you know, I mean, Donny Van Beek, I mean, Anthony, I mean, they're everybody that plays in the Dutch league, eventually, they put themselves on display. He would have had a much better shot at it than he does even now at Roma. There is literally, what's the spotlight on Zaleski right now? Will teams really take notice of him playing against Cagliari, you know? Or will teams notice if he starts against Genoa at the Marassi, where it will for sure rain, because we're already in September, so everybody knows that Genoa starting
Liguria, September, there's only one weather report. Yeah, it's exactly. Rain. Always.
It's always. That's why... I don't see Tottenham executives tuning in for Genoa, Roma. I don't see that happening. I don't see Newcastle United send scouts to Rainy Marassi sitting there, you know, with Ferrero in the back trying to sneak his way into his old stadium. And, you know, I mean, it's crazy. It's insane that that this situation, that we drove ourselves into this situation, because I think this could have been handled differently, especially on the player's end. Because if you're Zaleski, if you want to stay at the club, you say, no, I don't like Galatasaray, fuck it, I want to stay, you know? Like, don't overthink it. If you rejected PSV, be consistent. What does PSV have more than Galatasaray to offer, you know? If just because maybe he had a couple of nice performances for Poland in this international break, all of a sudden he's Maradona? No. So you have to be a realistic. At a certain point, the club have to be convinced of what they want to do with a certain player. And Roma seemed convinced of what they wanted to do with Zaleski. That's for certain. They wanted to sell him. And Zaleski has to be realistic about who he is as a player. John, he's a player who right now has 109 appearances for Roma. He has 2 goals and 7 assists. For a guy that primarily yes. has played as a left wing back under Mourinho, he has 7 assists in 109 appearances for Roma. 7 assists in 109 appearances. If that isn't one of the most god-awful stats for a player in his position, I mean, pull up the stats of Bruno Perez, my friend. Pull up the stats right now. Bruno Perez will give him a run for his money, okay? Bruno Perez, in terms of stats for Roma, will appear like Roberto Carlos in comparison.
Well, I just have to say it then, because now that we have at least removed the veil of being able to criticize him, I might as well go down the path as to his agent and why I think this situation is. This is a guy I have a long-standing history with, his agent, okay? His agent is the same as Grégoire Defrel, Lorenzo Pellegrini. I have nicknamed him Zoolander because he's one of those typical Metro Italian uncles that you have. That is wearing the tight jeans at the age of 62.
Yeah, and loafers with no socks.
No sock, yes. And he has far too much tanner on the face. I call him Zoolander. I have about, when I said, whenever I decide to leave the world of football, I will play, there's 3 to 4 voice notes that he left to me years ago, and it was in reference to the Fred. It was when he went to Sampdoria and they couldn't make the loan deal for him permanent. He left me some messages that I like to play around the holidays to put myself into the spirit of the season. This is a guy who is delusional, as is one of his legal partners who gave the most bizarre interview to address the situation of Zaleski, because we talked about a rat. A few episodes ago, we brought up how there's some things leaking from the dressing room, okay? And there is a rat.
I don't want to get sued, John. I don't want to get
sued. Hold on. I am going to say this very, very delicately, and I want Giovanni Ferro to not misunderstand. Do not believe he speaks English. Ferro is the guy who gave the interview some days ago, said this is all unfounded. This is all ridiculous talk of Zalewski being named as the rat in the dressing room.
Which is weird, which I must say, John, because it's weird because I actually didn't see any like newspapers circulating that name. So for me, it was weird that...
Yeah, you kind of tell on yourself a bit too telling on yourself, man. Yeah. Just don't say anything.
Yeah, I was like...
I'm not a virgin. I am not a virgin. I am telling you, I'm not.
John, the first,
I'm
the not, first thing.
Like, okay, man, just stop.
The first thing I do in the morning is to go through each newspaper that mentions Roma in Italy. There was no mention.
Yeah, there was nothing
of Zalewski being called by someone a rat. Also, because if there had been, that newspaper would have been sued. The lawyer all of a sudden came out with this, no, he's not. Anybody who's saying these things should be... I'm like, where did that come from?
Now, this is very easy because I said the same thing when I encounter problems with this, when Pochetta, this agent... When I said some things about De Frel, because he had said to me that Sampdoria don't have the money to make the deal for De Frel permanent. I had written that. And he went out and said, It's a lie. The Solano guy, he's lying. And I am even considering taking legal action. There is no legal action possible when you just have your phone and you say, okay, there's a message. And then it's over. They just said it to save their skin because, well, A, they have the straw tail, and B, they know that, or they assume that, you know, perhaps somebody in their position versus our position, if there was legal action, they would probably have the upper hand because of their mancano questi, I soldi, yeah? So I think that's why they say things like that. But anyway, okay. That's my roundabout way of saying Zoolander, Giampiero Pochetta, has this very odd, overinflated sense of his stable of
play. And that does.
Do
that
you remember
also...
the negotiation with Pellegrini, though? Do you remember that with Jose Mourinho? Remember?
I remember, but I also wonder, like, that has to, like, I also always wonder, how do these players pick their agents? You know, like, for example, someone like Giovanni Di Lorenzo, right? Whose agent basically put him at the door of Napoli, like, came out in the open and said, "We're leaving. Fuck it. You know, we don't want to have anything to do with this club anymore. We're leaving. This is irreparable. You know." And I mean, the player was basically deemed persona non grata. Right now, he's back to being the captain. Giovanni Di Lorenzo, when asked, he never said anything of the sort that his agent was saying. Like, his agent was doing all the talking for him.
Well, just say the name, because it is a guy we have some history with, yeah?
Well, yes, Giuffredi.
With one Jordan Vera too?
Yes. Yes, I mean, he's got all kinds of clients. He's Mario Ruiz's agent, I mean, also there. But anyway, I always wonder, who do they pick and what does that say about them? Because I think someone like Zalewski right now needs to be honest about himself. Needs to be honest about the kind of player that he is at Roma. I'm not saying in general, because, again, we see him perform with Poland and he becomes a different player. He feels less pressure. He is much more involved in what the team is doing. Even Robert Lewandowski goes out of his way to praise him. And yet at Roma, he's a shell. He's a shell. He's a ghost. And as a player, you have to understand that. You have to understand that maybe a context doesn't work for you, and you have to be brave enough to move on. You have to realize who you are at that moment in that specific context and say, right now, I'm not being good enough for the team. I have to go. And that would be beneficial for him and the club. So right now, this decision of him staying, I want to see what's going to happen, because we know that Roma do not want to lose him for free. At the same time, I think extending his contract would be also quite risky. So this is going to be bizarre.
Don't do it.
No, exactly. Don't do it, because you might end up with a really hot potato on your hands.
It is bizarre in the sense, too, that you cannot, in my opinion, renew this guy. his agent now, he is messaging. He is saying an economic agreement was never found at Galatasaray. And I assume there has to be at least one or two newspapers saying the same thing. Because again, once word goes out, the same thing is said to everybody, which is why you say everybody report the exact same thing. I haven't checked yet, but I assume somebody has to have that that update from him, which I, again, whether it is crap or not, time will tell. I have a very difficult time believing they would have a problem finding an agreement to a contract, assuming he is being realistic in his expectations. I made the mistake of Jufre Endin looking at his WhatsApp photo again. Don't Google this guy, everyone, because if you want to talk about, I made fun of Zoolander, Pochetta.
This guy is scary, Giuffredi.
Well, he's scary. You can tell the delusion of a man when he... Well, look at the hair, man.
I know. He's and I just
you do not
to know
hold
he's...
on for dear life like this.
No, if you know, you don't. You just
you're holding
let
on
it go.
On the
either
edge
you go
of...
to Turkey, either you go to Turkey or you let it go, man. It's simple. It's either you get a transplant or you do one of those Antonio Conte jobs on yourself, or you go fully Bruce Willis. You know, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, he's about to turn into the famed, what's the one corpse that just sits there on, a Green Boots guy. You know, that you're going to be, it's not good, man. Just
it's not looking good.
Let
no.
it go. You're for, yeah, but when, I feel bad because of all the flaws I have, the one thing I can't say with definitive proof, and
hair.
You yourself too,
yeah, hair,
the thickness, the yes. thick locks. And when you hold on for dear life like that, I feel bad because then you do the thing where your forehead looks like the German Autobahn, yeah? Where
yeah.
I mean, yeah. the traffic sure. that can be flowed sure. through that. Come on, Mario. Just let it go, man. But
I
yeah,
just wanna, I wanted
a lot
to,
of these guys,
I,
that is watch, a problem.
Watch, wait, watch this segue, John, because I think we've had enough of Zaleski talk. This is not going to change. This is a situation that is going to... I'm afraid it might blow up in everybody's face, okay? If just he doesn't start performing, if the club don't clarify the situation with him, this might blow up in your face, you know? It might, you might get a player who is completely
yeah, but
useless.
You can't just bring him back into the team, though, and pretend this never happened. That's
well,
my problem with these
to.
Things.
We
have to, like, close our eyes.
You'll have to do it. You'll have to do it. You'll have to do it. That's the end of story, starting from the match against Genoa. But watch the segue. Talking about letting things go, as in Mario Giuffredi, the hair and everything. Talking about letting things go, how about Francesco Totti lets go of this notion that he's owed something, okay? I just want to start with that. I'm going to start this segment with a bang, John.
You understand.
I know.
Every time we criticize Totti, even in the slightest, I get called a cat eater.
I had to block my messages on DM. I don't get messages
okay.
anymore. I just want, but I'm going to take the brunt of it. I'm willing to get it because I really find that sometimes if you don't have anything substantial to say, if the only function of you talking is to express your grievances, then don't. Because I feel like we should all take note from someone like Daniele De Rossi, who, listen, Daniele De Rossi retired 2 years after Totti. Well, not 2.5, because if you consider that he went to Boca for about 6 months or so, fine. But Daniele De Rossi retired not exactly on his terms. Like, it wasn't
correct.
The ideal scenario. He had to still...
Handled very poorly.
He had
very
to meet
poorly.
The club in halfway. Okay, he retired. Fine. We didn't hear him talk about Roma. Not a single word came from him in the years that followed, okay? Remember... He leaves, Paolo Fonseca comes in, Gianluca Petrachi comes in, you know, there is a regime change, then...
and it's after that horrible season, man. Horrible season.
Yes, the Friedkins come in, Daniele De Rossi doesn't say a word. He may have felt wronged, he may have felt disappointed, whatever. He never expressed it. The only time we heard something from him was when he went and started to work with the Italian national team for Euro 2022.
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Sorry, 2020 in 2021. Okay. That's the only correct. Time, that's the first time that we heard something from him, 2 years, and it was not Roma related. This is a guy who then went and got what he wanted, which is that coaching license, which he wanted at all costs. He knew it from the day he quit football. He worked for Mancini, started his spell with Spal. It went wrong, went back to the national team, quit the national team, waited, got really close to some coaching jobs in Serie B, in Serie A as well. Finally got his way back into Roma. That's when he started to say things. You will be hard-pressed to find three interviews with him in that period between his retirement and his return to Roma where he explicitly talked about Roma. It will be very challenging because that's how you handle it. That's how you handle it. If you don't have anything substantial to say but only expressing grievances, then don't. Then don't, because especially in this city, these things echo like crazy.
But he does this, and I've said it 1 million times, he does this things that even aren't grievances. Andy, he has waterboarded us with the thing of rejecting Real Madrid since 2006. He wins the World Cup, he gets the offer immediately after from Real Madrid, and he rejects them. Which, if you want to stay, and you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart, of course you want people to be thankful of it. And I can't find anybody who has not been thankful. He waterboards and reminds us of that. It's like when you get in a fight with your partner. If you do something very wrong, it will be held over your head for the remainder of your time together.
Yes.
I am tired of being waterboarded, and I am tired of being waterboarded with this thing about how he left Roma in 2019.
Yeah. And there is this. So we're mentioning this because this morning, for those that didn't get a chance, you know, this morning, and we're recording it on Thursday, 12th September. An interview by Il Messaggero came up, and it's a really long interview in which Totti basically not only shares his views on Roma's transfer market, he also expresses his disappointment at not having been called by Roma, at not being part of Roma. In a very veiled manner, in my opinion, he expresses a bit of envy of how smoothly this return for Daniele De Rossi worked out. You know, the fact that all of a sudden he's back at his club in the function that he always wanted to embrace, and that he's getting to do what he wanted always to do. He mentions the fact that he doesn't like Roma's transfer market, that it's a mixed bag. He would have spent the money differently, and that he would be content with a role akin to Zlatan Ibrahimovic or Javier Zanetti at the club. Now,
making the own role, by the way, that's what I like too. Just basically now, saying you will pay me to do the role as I define it.
But listen, you know? but John, the thing is, in Totti's mind, he specifies what he would like the role to entail. But he wouldn't like to be a spokesperson because he says he doesn't want to be the one who goes out in front of the cameras when things go wrong. But at the same time, clearly, he doesn't want to be involved in very specific sporting area duties that might involve that kind of level of responsibility. He mentions
all the glory without the responsibility.
Yes, he says what something. He said something akin to the technical director, but that's not what a technical director does. What a technical director does is what Maldini did at Milan, where he worked very closely with the sporting director Enrico Massara. But man, did he put his face out there. Like Maldini, talk about taking a responsibility. Maldini did just that and helped build a Scudetto-winning squad. The fact that he mentions Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Javier Zanetti, for me, it's even more worrying because it makes me realize that he does not seem to understand what the hell he's talking about. Javier Zanetti has been vice president of Inter for many, many years. Javier Zanetti yes. is vice president of Inter. Let me reiterate that, okay? Zlatan Ibrahimovic is an external consultant to Redbird. Okay, he doesn't work directly for Milan. He works as an external consultant. Both of them have the qualifications required. Both of them have the licenses required to carry out the jobs they did. You know how many licenses Francesco Totti holds right now? Zero. You know how many courses he finished at Coverciano? Zero. Francesco, to me, the wrong thing about Totti coming out like this at the start of the season and basically saying, it's not fair that Roma didn't call me up. He even says something that is even more, in my opinion, infuriating, is when he says, well, now De Rossi has to aim for Champions League football because if he doesn't get it, he's the first one to get sacked. Like that's a one hell of a way to talk about your friend, man. At the start of the season, that's a one hell of a way to talk, especially when you don't realize that what Roma did right now in this transfer market is not, you know, throw a bunch of money blindly. No, Roma set up this was a market where they were meant to set up the foundations for something long term. We all agreed on it a few months ago. Why are we now starting to say these things where it's like it's either win or bust? Like, no, it's not. It's not. It's not supposed to be. It's everybody has said it. It's a three-year project. It's a three-year project. I don't know how many times Daniele De Rossi himself has said it. It's a three-year project. So can we listen to that or will we just plainly ignore it and stick to the fact that Roma spent 100 million? Roma did not just blindly splash 100 million for the hell of it. Roma lowered their wage bill, okay, considerably. They met their objective of lowering their wage bill considerably from the original 104 million. And now they're trying to build a squad that is sustainable in the long run. Hence the emphasis on the long run. The thing that bothers me most about this is that Francesco Totti feels that he's owed something. He may have been the greatest servant this club has ever seen, will ever see. Okay, certainly the best player ever, bar none, at the club. Yes. Legend. But he's still a servant to the club. Okay? He's not bigger than the club. Daniele De Rossi is not bigger than the club. Francesco Totti is not bigger than the club. The difference is that De Rossi knows this fully well. And I fear that sometimes when Francesco Totti comes out and gives out these interviews just out at random and doesn't really watch his words, it seems like he's forgetting something. And he's forgetting that he's not owed anything right now. And that if you have your club's best interest at heart, you have to contain some of the feelings of grief, of disappointment, of anger, frustration, whatever it is that you hold in there, hold it in. Because you know, you above all know that in this city, the moment you say something, it will echo for weeks and months on end. Okay? I can assure yes. you of that.
The thing that bothers me most is when we have conversations like this about Francesco Totti is everything gets lumped into one. There's no thought of two things can be true, that he was amongst my most favorite players ever to watch. He was the best player of Roma. But he also talks too much. And I think, frankly, when he does talk, he talks so far out of his backside. The first thing I thought of when I read this interview of his, man, he sounds like those mad call, like when you turn on the radios and they are taking calls from supporters. He sounds like one of them. I mean, he sounds nuts. And you think to yourself,
he does sound like a bit of a conspiracy theorist, you know, like, yeah, I'm disappointed. Yes. They didn't call me. I'm not the one going knocking at the door. Man, are you a grown man or are you a child?
Yeah, first off, the way he described the role of the technical director, if you look at the interview, and there is no mistranslation here, he is basically, in his mind, the technical director is like a spokesperson almost. But he wants more than a title of spokesperson. If you read what he says, he is saying, I want to have the influence. I want to have the authority.
However, but none of the
pressure. I don't want the one on the hook.
None yes, of the pressure.
I don't want to be the one on the hook if this stuff hits the fan, I don't want to be the one blamed. Which, listen, there is not a single person on earth who would not love for that to be their job. I would love to be a CEO, but not have any of the authority. I would like to make the wages of a CEO, but not have any of the accountability.
Yeah.
Not be the one to be blamed. Like, nothing works like that.
It does not work like that.
Then, when he shifts to, here's where I got very annoyed. He referenced Maldini. I can tell you one without hesitation for even a millisecond. Maldini was in every single negotiation. The number of these degenerate agents I talk to on a daily basis, I can tell you with 1,000,000% certainty. Andy Paolo Maldini is in those negotiations. He is negotiating for players. He's doing contract renewals. He is flying to Spain to get Teo Hernandez.
But you don't even have to go as far as that, John. For us, I mean, even Balzaretti and De Sanctis were more involved. In, remember, when Totti, Totti's role, because Totti came, people, maybe New Roma fans don't remember, Totti was given a job at Roma right after he retired, John. Remember? We saw him at the stadium. He was there. He was always alongside Monchi. The problem was that Totti didn't embrace the role that was given to him, which was the only role that Roma could give to someone who was not qualified to hold other responsibilities, right? Totti was given the role that someone like Trezeguet was given at Juventus, be the club ambassador.
Yes.
Travel around, be at the Nyon Champions League draw or whatever, you know, smile, give interviews. Perfect. Totti did not like that because he wanted to have an input in the decision-making process. Fine, but you need the qualification for that, you know, and that's where a lot of people seem to always get mixed up with the romantic idea that if a player was important to them as a player, he must have the say even when he's not a player anymore. And I'm sorry, but it doesn't work like that, okay? So remember, Totti even said...
And that their word is infallible, by the way. I mean, this guy could say this guy is green and he would have at least 33% of Roma convinced of it.
He basically convinced everyone that he had Antonio Conte on the call to become the next coach of Roma. It doesn't happen that way. I'm sorry. And you cannot convince me that that's the way it is because it doesn't. Okay. Some people that were far less liked by fans actually got an input. So Balzaretti, De Sanctis, they had a say in Roma matters. Totti didn't. But Totti didn't, not because the club were mean to him, but Totti didn't because he didn't go to the courses. He didn't get the licenses that were required to do it. Totti right now has a small agency for young players, but that's about it. And he's been retired, what, since 2017? So that's 7 years. 7 years of a guy who every summer keeps repeating, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something. And then what does he do? He plays padel. That's about it. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. 7 years of that. Great. What did Daniele De Rossi do in far less time? In 5 years since he retired. Okay. Just look at that. So I'm just saying you can feel disappointment because sure, it's disappointing. You know, you have Mourinho. When Mourinho was there, he kept saying, I want Francesco Totti. And so maybe in his mind, he had this idea that all of a sudden the Friedkins will pick up the phone and call him. But you also, like Zaleski, you have to be realistic. You have to be realistic. You have to know where you stand, who you are, what job you can handle. Because the fact that you are a club legend will not make up for the rest of your resume, for the rest of your life.
And what bothers me in addition to that is this has been a story. He left in 2019. So over a half decade on this thing. And Andy, it is every single year. Who are you trying to help by extending this thing? Who are you trying to help by... You're not helping Roma by making this thing. He is extending this thing. He is making it the talking point by bringing this up every 6 months, give or take.
And you know what he said also? He said, I had offers from other teams, but I said I will remain loyal to Roma. Don't do it now, man. Don't do it now. Because if you really had those offers, you would have accepted it without batting an eye. It doesn't, you said, without, yeah. You know, if I go to another team, it's a disaster.
He's going to throw a problem if he goes to that. They're going to complain.
That's what he said. If I were to go and work for any other club, it would be a disaster for Roma. See, that's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean, is who are you in comparison with the club? And not the ownership, mind you, because I understand people can have a problem with an ownership. But the club, Roma, when you say it will be a disaster for Roma, that doesn't show me that you have Roma's best interests at heart. It feels like you're almost extorting Roma to do something. Say, if I go work for Regina or Reggiana or Vicenza, you'll see. You'll see what the fans will do to you. No. Everybody moves on. You have to let it go. Just going back to that Mario Giuffredi and the hair, you have to let it go. You have to understand where you stand in life. Daniele De Rossi stands right now as the Roma head coach. Francesco Totti right now doesn't stand anywhere except for a padel pitch. That's it.
Yes. Listen. There is not going to be anybody who says they don't want to see Totti at Roma again. Nobody. But the method and the manner in which this has been carried out for, again, so long and so unnecessarily, I just can't comprehend where, in the same sense, you're talking about your love for Roma, so on and so forth. Nobody is going to question that you love Roma. You've waterboarded us with this thing from the moment you left. And by the way, I still take issue with that entire press conference and the manner in which he leaves. It was a child throwing a tantrum, man. And
a lot of people claimed, oh, there he is saying the truth. And I remember we came on that podcast and we got treated like dirt in the aftermath of that podcast. But I still remember disappointment in seeing someone stage something of that kind to feed his own ego.
Yes.
It still stands to me. Those images of him sitting with the microphone at the press conference, it felt so wrong on so many levels, and he hasn't done much to repair that. I think for a brief time when Mourinho was there, he seemed to be back on board. He seemed to be almost like ready to put everything aside. He almost seemed like he had learned his lesson. And now with Mourinho gone and his best friend in there, supposedly best friend, he's back to his old shtick. Why? To whose benefit? Yeah,
well, we remember though. Well, I think we both know why. Because Jose Mourinho was willing to stroke his ego, so to speak. Remember all the interviews they gave where he talks about Francesco Totti?
I wanted him at Inter.
Yeah. I
it would be great. A club again, like Roma is not a club without its legend. You know, you always have to look after your legends. And classic Mourinho talk to appease fans. Sure.
I still take issue with that whole press conference. It still bothers me. There, you know, being up on that podium and having a go at individual journalists airing your grievances in there.
Right. And you guys can, we can also disagree with our good friend Alessandro Ostini, but in that moment, you know, and that became a meme, right? The Ostini. But man.
Yeah, Sandro Ostini. Who was wrong? Yeah.
You know?
Listen, because he knows he has the spotlight and he has a platform, what I take issue with there is Sandro Ostini was at Trigoria all of the time. If you had an issue with him, go up to him and tell him and say it. Don't do it where you wait for dozens and dozens and dozens of people of the press and the media and your friends, people of the club, former, to have the king go to the podium, and you have, you know, the the servant sitting there and you're mocking him and having a go at him. You can have a problem with what he writes. Anybody in the media, you can have a problem with what they write, what they say. For instance, what Daniele De Rossi did the other day when he was talking about the story of the fight with Cristante. I have no issue with that. I have zero issue with the manner in which he held it up. Because it's a press conference, that is when they interact with the media. Don't call a press conference where everybody knows you are going to leave. It is going to be ugly. You are going to say things that probably are not too nice. And you let loose on every single person who may have even wronged you. Hey, listen, I'm the last one to talk about this because when it comes to vitriol, I have a terrible time of letting things go. For me, I can forgive. I never forget. I'm horrible at it. The second somebody wrongs me, I purge them and it's not good. Similar to what Totti did. The way he left was so unbecoming of a guy of his stature that I always wanted to think that that was a one-off or he was just so angry he had to let it go. But man, right. When you see him talking about it like this for years have gone and by. Years yes. and years, yes. it's so unnecessary.
And you know, when that happens at the beginning of a season, at the worst time, we're a few days away from playing against Genoa, international break is over, the team is getting back, they are coming off three disappointing games, and you cannot allow yourself to have this amount of noise because you know this will come back to haunt De Rossi in the upcoming press conference. You know that this tomorrow there'll still be headlines based on what Totti said. The day after tomorrow, the same thing. That builds up pressure always. And Totti is the first one to know what happens when someone of his stature speaks in the city. I hope that Roma, now that they go into Genoa, we have a number of situations to be resolved. This Zaleski situation. We have Dovbyk, who we don't know if he's going to recover. Lorenzo Pellegrini, he's also banked up. Enzo Lefe, banked up. The team seemed to have a semblance of play against Juve, but we all know that international breaks tend to disrupt any kind of momentum. We have some exciting new things that we can look forward to, such as Kone potentially starting for us, Pizzilli, maybe, who knows? So there's a lot of that. The last thing we need is more noise.
Yeah, and he knows that too. And again, that is why it frustrates me to no end. This is where the season really begins. This is we remember last season where you have that Milan match, you have the break, and then you come back. And everything seems like it's going in a positive direction until which match? Genoa. So,
and you know who was in attendance? Totti. I think that was the last match that Totti know that attended.
And we know that too because the primary photographer, if you live in Liguria, you are blessed for some reason for having some of the best photographers
one of
in the
best.
World.
That's crazy.
I mean, in the entire country. When you go and look for stock images, when Roma play at the Marassi,
oh, it's so beautiful!
The images that come,
oh, they're so beautiful. I just want to put it out there. Whoever you are, I never remember the name, but whoever you are, you're so good. Like Genoa have easily the best photographer available. We, John and I, when we are writing articles after a match at the Marassi, or even against Sampdoria. In the past, blessed. We felt blessed because normally with Roma, there is very little quality, especially at the Olimpico. There is very little to look forward to at the Marassi. For some reason, we have this great photographer who takes care of us. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, it is incredible. They have to win. I'm not breaking any secrets here. This Genoa is...
They killed most of the team. I mean, they took out Retegui, Gudmundsen without really doing much to replace them. So I think Gilardino is one of the coaches who has every right to be upset after what they did during the summer.
Yes.
We avoided discussing Empoli's transfer market, but I do think that Genoa's transfer window was not good in terms of the chances that you're giving your coach to succeed. And I think it's disappointing because Gilardino showed some good things in his first season.
I mean, what he's getting from them is incredible,
yeah,
frankly.
Yeah,
man.
So that's...
I mean...
That's what I'm thinking is Roma have to go into this match and I want to see what De Rossi has said in the past. What De Rossi has said recently is those who deserve will play. Well, now I want to see that. So I really... I don't... So, for example, if Mario Hermoso, who arrived over a week ago... spent all summer long training on zone. If Mario Hermoso is in better shape than, say, Angelino or Mancini or Ndicka, play him. If Kone is in the form of his lifetime after getting a huge confidence boost during the international break and he gave you those quality 20 minutes against Juventus, play him. If Pizzilli showed good things and you trust him enough tomorrow, play him. So keep that same thought, keep that same train of thought that you had against Juventus when you fielded Pizzilli, because you said, hell, you know, he's giving me the good stuff in training. I want to give him the chance. Please don't let off. Please don't lose that belief, because that is key to keep this team with a competitive edge.
Absolutely. We will be back after the match in a few days. So until then, ciao.